We are back with our guest today for Center Stage. This is our segment where we highlight a theater performance upcoming in our community. And right now we are joined by Donovan Zimmerman. He is from the Paper Hand Puppet Intervention. And I am so glad you're able to be here, Donovan. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Glad you could be here. I've done a little bit of research prepping for this interview to see what the Paper Hand Puppet Intervention is all about. And it's pretty shocking when you see the puppets for the first time. So I guess the question I have for you now is, how do you explain this to someone who doesn't know anything about it? When you're meeting somebody that they don't know anything about it at all, where do you start?
Well, I started by saying that we're a giant puppet company, which means we make puppets that take multiple people to carry. We also make a lot of masks that sort of turn the person in costume into the puppet. And we do a lot of colorful banners that we create with woodcuts and paint and colorful silks. And we do stilt walking. So there's just a lot of big spectacle to what we do. But we also, shrink it down and do more intimate things like shadow puppets, which is a big piece of the work that we do every year. This year, there's a lot of masks. There's some great giant puppets that are new, some backpack puppets and some multi-person puppets, and then a whole host of new animals and creatures of different kinds.
We're speaking with Donovan Zimmerman from the Paper Hand Puppet Intervention, and I got to ask, how did you get into puppetry?
Well, it started with being an artist growing up, and I went to a school for creative and performing arts, and I practiced being doing art, basically, in fine arts, and then I also took theater classes, so it was a major-minor kind of school where you held these things and you have classes each day. And then I got out and went to art school after graduation. And then I started traveling, and I basically stumbled upon Bread and Puppet Farm in Vermont. And they're a pretty world famous puppet company at this point. And I met Peter Schumann, and we became friends. And and I also met Jan, my partner in this, who had interned with Bread and Puppet, and there was just a synergy there. But from that moment, I got interested in puppetry, basically more than just interested. I was like, my life was changed, and I decided this was what I was doing for the rest of my life, basically, as far as I could tell.
So if like the 21-year-old you found out that you were a professional puppet artist now, would you be surprised?
Well, I was actually 19. When I stumbled onto the farm, I stumbled out of some, hippie van in the, 1989 or something.
So the 21-year-old, you would have been pretty stoked to hear that, I guess.
Yeah. And so I was just like, wow, this, and it was, because I had been practicing art and theater, and music, I was interested in, I played drums and percussion and also other things, ukulele, flutes, things like that. When I saw that the arts could find a home where, together under one umbrella, I felt like I had found my thing, because I was really interested in doing them all. I didn't want to over-specialize. And so it just resonated with my soul, my artistic vision of what I wanted to do. And so I haven't really stopped since then.
How did we get to Paper Hand Puppet Intervention?
Jan Berger and myself met around an environmental education sort of festival called the Hall River Learning Celebration. And we decided to just do a puppet show because we were both interested in puppetry. We hadn't really worked together, but we had become friends by meeting there. And we made one for all the kids who'd gather, their fourth graders who come. And it was a huge hit. And then we just, we're like, let's do some more. And then that let's do some more became kind of a mantra for keeping going and trying to do more and better and deepen our sort of understanding of puppetry and what was possible. And so we pushed some edges. We pushed some limits. We've tried to challenge ourselves yearly into new designs. And we made a 50-person puppet one year for that takes 50 people to carry for the city of Raleigh and Artsplosure. For First Night Raleigh, and then we've all, we've just challenged ourselves in all different kinds of ways with commissions and trying to create creatures and just basically tap into a bit of the magic that's all around us, that, you know, so that people can feel connected to that and each other.
And how long ago was it that Paper Hand Puppet Intervention started?
We started 22 years ago. This is our 22nd annual giant puppet production at the Forest Theater in Chapel Hill. And it's just such a beautiful theater. It's where my wife and I had our first date, first kiss, which was kind of amazing. And I'm just saying, it's got a lot of history for both Jan and I, just being in there with many hundreds of people, and sometimes more than 1,000, which is a very full night. But we've seen, you know, it's become a tradition for so many people in the Chapel Hill, in the Triangle in general. It's just been a really sort of deeply satisfying relationship that has built up over the years, where people come out and sit under the trees and bring a, you know, picnic basket or whatever they bring, and you know, just kind of commune with us. And our shows do revolve a lot around just sort of veneration and sort of celebration of the natural world, and trying to center that more in our lives so that we can, I don't know, survive. I feel like there's a need for us to center more of that deep gratitude for the earth that we live on, and, you know, maybe decentering some capitalist ideas that might just burn us all to the ground. But hey, I'm not judging. I'm just saying that we're just trying to, like, share something that really does connect people to the earth and its creatures, but also to each other as human beings.
So along those lines, and as you were saying, the show is at the Forest Theater on UNC's campus, and it's such a unique and fascinating venue. I wonder what the advantages and the drawbacks are for doing a puppetry show at that venue.
Well, it has great amount of space in the wings. We just have a whole forest we can stash our stuff in. And there's these big walls that are on the left and right sides so that you can hide things easily, lean them against the walls, and then enter them in a nice grand fashion, if you will, like tall puppets, 15 feet tall, that have, you know, three people, four people carrying them. And again, it resonates with our idea of communing. You know, we'll often see hawks circling over above, or bats kind of come in as the twilight descends over the show, and it just the place just resonates with us in being, you know, forest dwellers. I guess you could do a little forest bathing. You could come, you know, just be under the trees, and you're with your community, and everyone's just there, and it's not a dark theater. You can all see each other, and it does get darker as the evening progresses, and then that's when the shadows, and we also have illuminated puppets that we make every year, some sort of, you know, lit from within kind of a thing, to bring a little bit of that magic as well.
We're visiting with Donovan Zimmerman from Paper Hand Puppet Intervention, and we've talked for a while now, but we haven't actually talked about the show. So tell me about this year's show.
This year's show is called The Meanwhile Clock and Other Impossible Dances, and it is a story. It's based on two books. One of them is Momo by Michael End, who wrote The Neverending Story. He also wrote this book, which has the main character, Momo, and it also has these characters called the Men in Gray, who are basically, you know, titans of industry slash hardcore, I guess, you know, capitalist. They're a little bit old school, you know. They're like nasty men in gray suits who are trying to get people to save, you know, their time in the time savings bank. And the time savings bank promises your time back with interest if you invest it now, which means you have to stay busier and go harder and work more and do less things that like have friends and, I don't know, do art or anything that's sort of considered to be extracurricular, right? So they're sort of very much like the nothing. If you've ever read The Neverending Story or seen the movie, they have the same kind of vibe, and they're always surrounded by this gray smoke which comes out of these foul cigars that they smoke. But we, you know, we also combined it with a book a dear friend of ours who is an artist and puppeteer named Eli Nixon. They have a book called Blood Tide, which is basically all about horseshoe crabs and how we can use the idea of you know, looking at horseshoe crabs and their sort of symbiotic relationships with birds like the red knots and sea turtles and other creatures, and look at, and basically create a new holiday that that centers, you know, creatures of the earth in a way that creates more of a, again, like a celebration, as I mentioned earlier. It has lots of layers to it, but we sort of weave these two together, and we have these Momo story times, and then we have these things, these parts that we call deep time. And so the whole theme of the show is basically time and our relationship to it. And so we're looking at it through the lens of this story of Momo and who resists against the time savings bank in their in this little, this sort of little village gets slowly sucked into the Men in Gray's way of being, and loses their color, loses the flowers that they have growing all over town. And then, you know, there's a resistance that's mounted, and it takes just coming together and understanding things. So there's some magical being that, I guess I should say beings that Momo comes in contact with that, you know, sort of like on the hero's journey, they get, you know, some wisdom from the, you know, Professor Aura and this sort of magical turtle called Cassiopeia, which is another giant puppet that we made. And anyway, so it's just a big adventure that has some other, I guess you could say almost asides into what I would call, you know, deep time creative philosophy, you know, sort of moments. And that's the show. Is that is just a combination of those stories, of those two different books, and our interpretation of those books, and it's got a lot going on. It definitely has a lot of cool puppetry styles. It has an amazing band that has 7 people: keyboards, drums, cello, flute, singing, bass, all kinds of stuff, and. They're all really skilled. So, I mean, really, it's worth the ticket price for the music alone, but you also get all this moving art and story and giant puppets. And so it's kind of it's a pretty great value for what's out there.
Let's talk logistics. When is it? What time is it? How much are tickets?
Well, we just have the basic ticket for an adult is $20. And then it's $10 for kids and that are 4 to 14, 3 and under are free. So if you have a baby in arms or whatever, a toddler, we don't really charge. We open up this Friday, which is August 12th, and we run Friday, Saturday, and Sunday all the way through September 18th at the Forest Theater. And then we move over to the Museum of Art in Raleigh for the 23rd, 24th, and 25th of September. So all the shows are at 7. The tickets are available on our website, but you can also buy them at the door. That's not a problem. For the entire 22 years before now, they've always been always at the door. But we're trying something different now as we sort of put COVID slightly in the rearview mirror some of the time. It's a very wide open, you know, outdoor space, so it should be feeling pretty safe for most people. But you're welcome to wear a mask if you like, no problem. So the tickets are at the door and they're online at paperhand.org. And we're just, trying to make a bit of a comeback after COVID kind of taking away a lot of our momentum. There was some tricky years of trying to figure out how to be a giant puppeteer who is all about gathering people and making sort of group communal celebrations happen. That's more at the core of what we do than anything in some ways, but we do center the art and the message and as well.
Our guest is Donovan Zimmerman from the Paper Hand Puppet Intervention, and we've got about 30 seconds left. Are there any last thoughts that we haven't covered yet?
I'm not sure if we haven't covered them, but I think it's I just look back over the years at how it's become a family tradition for so many people. And I hope that people will be able to come out and join us under the stars and under the trees and enjoy an evening of enchantment with giant puppets and live music and lots of good folks trying to do good things.
Thank you, Donovan.
Thank you. Thank you so much.